I'd like to welcome you to the next in our series of podcasts dealing with global health issues. My name is Derek Yach. I'm the president of the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World, and we've been exploring issues related to smoking and the nexus to COVID-19. I'm really very pleased to be able to welcome Yuchen Shi. Yuchen really is an example of somebody who was deeply embedded in the current coronavirus crisis right from early on. But to start, Yuchen has a background in mathematics and data analytics. She's from China. And I think it'd be a good way to start, Yuchen, just to tell us a little bit about your work at the foundation and your background in training in China.
Hi, I'm Yuchen. I finished my undergraduate degree at the Beijing University of Posts and Telecommunications in 2015. And after that, I came to the United States to pursue my master's degree at Stony Brook University. And my major was applied math and statistics. I graduated in 2018 and I joined the foundation last February as the data analyst. And now my work is basically collecting and analyzing data associated with government reports, academic studies, and research. And also, I monitor and track the data in our intelligence data platform to identify any trends and signals within nicotine cessation and harm reduction ecosystem. Yeah, I'm so excited to be in today's podcast and share with you some of my experience in China during my winter vacation.
Yeah, so let's jump straight to that, Yuchen. I think we know that you left for home actually to be with your family for the Chinese Lunar New Year. And I'd love to hear you just describe your experience when you arrived there in, was it about the January the 21st?
Yeah, I left US on this January 19th and my flight had a 2-hour stop just at Wuhan Airport. And I heard such news regarding this novel coronavirus pneumonia since early January. So my friend and I, we both wore the masks at Wuhan Airport. Since it was a few days before the Lunar New Year, I saw a lot of people at the airport, well, only few wearing masks. So I was thinking, am I taking that too seriously since people looked calm and everything was in order? At that time, we couldn't believe there was going to be an outbreak later.
Yeah, and then you went home, and what happened during your period of the holiday?
Yeah, like around January 28th, like the total case number of COVID-19 countrywide was just around 200, and there was zero case in my hometown, which is at the northwestern part of China. So in the first couple of days after I got home, I still hang out with my friends, shopped groceries, and visited relatives. But as the Lunar New Year's Day approaching, everyone started to receive message from the local government regarding the early precaution, social distancing, and 14 days self-quarantine for those who were back from Wuhan within 2 weeks. And I was just the one. So all my families decided to stay at home and canceled all our plans. And we only stepped out of our house for groceries and medical supplies like masks. And but most of the pharmacies like in my city ran out of the masks and medical alcohol. Well, the demands were huge. And like the one pharmacy near my neighborhood asked all the customers to make an appointment. And for each appointment, I can only get one mask. So for the most of the time, I just stay at home and I was on the social media and saw mixed information about the epidemic situation and the news on TV were all about the coronavirus. And I started to worry about if I already get infected and if there would be any possible outbreak in my city because my province is connected with Hubei. So basically at that time I was really nervous and kept observing if I develop any symptom.
Yeah, and of course, at that stage, the US was just starting to talk about a travel ban. And I'm sure you must have been worried about whether you'd be able to get back to the US.
Yes, it was like crazy that the confirmed cases increased from like about 200 to over 14,000 within 10 days. And positive cases had been reported in each province. The situation was getting severe. It was like, I got the news that the U.S. was going to issue the travel ban on February 2nd. I was supposed to be back on 5th. Once I got the news, I just booked the ticket right away and packed all my stuff within 3 hours and just left home. It was really a significant contrast comparing the situation I left China and entered U.S. We chose to take the train to the airport because if we drive, there would be a lot of like temperature tests on the way. It would take like 7 hours or even longer to drive to Xi'an Airport, which used to take about like 3 to 4 hours. So we chose the public transportation. Everyone was wearing masks. I've been taking temperature for like about 4 to 5 times until I finally got the departure gate. And everyone was wearing masks all the way on the plane. After I got JFK, I was a bit surprised. No one was measuring the temperature. But since I had Wuhan history, I was asked separately by the CDC staff to fill in a form and answer some questions to make sure that I'm healthy. And then they just let me go. After I got home, I started the 14-day self-quarantine again.
Yeah, no, it's extraordinary, the contrast. I mean, because you were living in a world where masks were everywhere, people were monitoring temperature, self-isolating, and yet the U.S. hadn't started reacting. And when you went home and, you know, you went into self-isolation, during that period, did the CDC or the health authority ever see how you were doing?
No, because actually I'm kind of used to this self-quarantine thing. So same as like when I was in China, I just kept observing myself if I develop any symptom. After 14 days, I went to the city MD to get a health certificate from the doctor. They took my temperature and do some basic examinations. I was proved that everything looked good to me. Then I just got back to work.
Well, I must say, you got back to work even while you were in self-isolation. So thank you for that. And during this time, of course, you were must have been in touch with your family and friends, watching things initially get worse in China. But I think what would be interesting is to hear what has been happening in the last couple of weeks.
I remember like just after I left, the situation was getting severe and the government issued the notice regarding delayed return to work and school, and the local government kept reminding everyone to stay at home through text messages and also like teach everybody to when to wear the mask, how to use it and dispose of it properly. The public transportation within my city suspended, like the bus, the taxis. Before entering any public locations like the pharmacy, supermarket, people would be measured their temperature at the entrance. At that time, my families and I, we kept following the news from the local health commission every day because they tracked and monitored each new confirmed patient within our province. The public would know their age, medical history, travel history and contact history. So overall, the government tried their best to get all of us informed. Until late February, the whole epidemic situation in China was under control. I remember it's like, late February, people started to get back to work. But they were still requested for a 14-day self-quarantine if they were from another city. I just heard from my cousin, the local school at my hometown will be open next Monday, and the students will like take the line to enter the campus and have the infrared face scan to test their temperature. My uncle in Beijing said now like the whole city is even more cautious and strict on the epidemic control and prevention, just in order to curb any imported cases. So now, like, everything seems turning to a new page, but still a lot of uncertainties. So it's not the time to relax or celebrate.
No, you're quite right. And I think it's extraordinary that you had to live through both China and in New York. And in the meantime, as we were saying, your work's continued. And have you seen any trends related to how smokers have been reacting both in China and in the US?
I didn't see much information on that, but according to the health experts' work, they did some research on the overall characteristic of the patients, and they have some data on the smokers and non-smokers and their symptoms regarding the coronavirus, but there's no obvious link between these two, but after their research, some people just say that they didn't find any link between these two, so the smokers won't be worried about that. And then those experts team just respond that we didn't made that kind of claim, and so during that time, because people are getting mixed information from all sorts of social media, so there's some misleading information, especially regarding smoking and its connection to the coronavirus.
Yeah, and thanks for that. And that, as you know, is something we're looking at in a number of places around the world. And it certainly appears that people who've smoked for many years and had lung damage will be at higher risk of the severe consequences of the virus. What we don't yet know is whether people who stop in the short term have an actual short-term benefit. But anybody who does smoke, of course, will have an improvement for their long-term health and survival. And this is something we will dig into in future podcasts with colleagues as well. So Yuchen, now that it's obviously improved in China, and we're hoping that it won't be before long before we start seeing things improve here in the US, you hinted that people are cautious to go back to work. Do you think that in the wake of what's happened, people are going to be more likely to be wearing masks more often and practicing some of the social distance issues that we've had to now, even into the future?
Yes, I believe so. Like now, like in China, mask is still a trend. And here in the United States, I guess that is a cultural issue, because people here, they don't wear the mask like frequently. But maybe when the, like, because one reason, I guess, it's first, we cannot get the mask now from any pharmacy because the demand from the medical stuffs. I think in the future, if the supplies goes up, people will choose to wear a mask. But also, like, the government in China also suggests that you do not need always wear the mask, but you better wear it at a crowded place.
Yeah. No, and I think that is prudent, and it's taken a long time here for that message to get through, mm-hmm. that it is prudent to wear a mask when you're going to be in any close proximity to people in a store, a grocery, a pharmacy as well. Well, thank you, Yuchen, and let's hope that, as I say, in both countries we see a continued improvement, particularly here where we're still in the middle of a crisis.
Thank you.
And to all our listeners, again, please stay safe. Remember what the rules are. And very importantly, try to be positive. I think when we start looking for the benefits of having to slow down and be at home, one is surprised at the small things that are being neglected that can actually improve the quality of life at this time. I hope that you'll continue to follow us. And for information or furthermore details from us, please contact us at podcast@smokefreeworld.org. Thank you.